debt is a part of life for most people. Mortgages, student loans, line of credit, and credit card debt. Credit card debt. Getting it under control is stressful. It can be intimidating. Shannon Lee Simmons would like to do something to mitigate the stress and intimidation. She is a certified financial planner, the founder of the New School of Finance, and the author of Living Debt Free. She joins us now to talk about her latest book and how you can come up with a debt repayment plan that works for you. Hello there.
Hi.
You wrote a second book. What were you thinking?
I wasn't, Bruce.
You were not thinking.
I know. And like quickly, too. So I need a bit of a timeout for a minute. But I love this book so much. So when the opportunity came up, I was like, I've always wanted to write a loving book about debt. So I got an opportunity and I had to do it.
You have some experience in this world, $13,000 in credit card debt. So I read about the circumstances that led you to that point, but what was the turning point that in hindsight that you look back to when you developed a plan to eliminate that debt?
Yeah, I think it was when I felt like out of options, right? So when it was in the beginning and it started to climb, I kept thinking, oh, it's manageable. I'll deal with that like next week or next month or whatever, like that's okay. And then as it started getting bigger and bigger, I started ignoring it more and more because I was like, oh my God, I can't do anything about this. And then finally, the stress and anxiety of having that debt looming over me and the stark realization that there's nowhere else to go. I had maxed out my credit card. I was like,
Oh, there's that.
Yeah, I have to do something. So the reality stick, kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh my gosh, this is completely out of hand. And what am I doing? And this is crazy. So, I'm still embarrassed talking. I mean, I was like so young at the time, but I'm still embarrassed talking about it because it was just so unlike me. And I think that's why it's important to share those stories, because I was a certified financial planner at the time. I had all the information I needed. I knew every time I swiped the card I shouldn't. And yet I still found myself in a spiral because of certain circumstances in my life. And I think that is such a relatable thing. And I think it's made me a better financial planner.
Yeah. So maybe it was a good thing that you were in that much debt. It's so helpful. It's so helpful to you. If you had a do-over, you'd go into even more debt. It would be even more helpful.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
So tell me about this concept called the debt loop. What is that?
Yeah, that was kind of how I explained my own experience. And then now what I see with clients on a daily basis when those people who come in are battling debt. So essentially, the threshold to go from somebody who doesn't have debt to a person that does is a big one. It's emotionally, noticeable. So if you're a person that never carries a balance on a credit card, and then all of a sudden you buy something and you can't pay it off and you have $400 on your credit card, that it triggers a guilt, an anxiety, a fear, like, oh my God, I overspent this month. And so that threshold is a big one. What happens in a debt loop, though, is that most people don't go into debt for the first time because they're going to Mexico or something like that. Most of the time it was circumstantial, unless it was like they got asked to be a bridesmaid in their friend's wedding and they're going. That maybe, yes, they might have gone to Mexico. But most of the time it's like their cat got sick, maybe they had a job loss, maybe somebody in their family was sick, they needed to retrain for a program or something. So to go from that person who doesn't have debt to having debt is usually significant and not frivolous spending. But now you have less money every month to survive your normal life. And normal life costs money. But now a portion of your income is going towards interest in paying back that debt. And so then life inevitably throws you another curveball. You have less money to work with. The debt starts
and
piling
so on
off.
And so on.
Right.
And so on.
Once you're in the loop, the problem is, if you've got $4,000 on a credit card, what's another $400 at that point?
Right.
And that's where the frivolous spending that everyone likes to point their finger at and say, they're just bad with money. That's when that kind of mentality takes over. But that's not usually in the beginning. It's usually after you've been spiraling for quite some time.
You talk about two types of financial tripwires. What are those two types?
Yeah, so emotional and routine are the typical ones that get us into some trouble. And so the routine ones are the ones that maybe people would be more familiar with. So often this can show up like, every time I go into Costco, I try to spend $80 but end up spending $200. Or every time I go into the repair store or like Home Depot or something. I want to go in to buy a wrench and I end up spending $150. Like there's certain places or stores or sales that can be one of those like routine triggers for you. Or like, and the example I use in the book, my one client, she was bored on her lunch break. So she was always kind of mindlessly overspending on her lunch break because she didn't want to go outside. It was cold. And she was like wandering the mall out of boredom. So she would like go buy $10 here and $15 here just for something to do, but she didn't even realize it. So it's like that mindless spending that you're doing because you're kind of in a bad habit of doing it. And then the other kind that I see is more an emotional trigger. So these are like positive or negative feelings that make you want to overspend to either keep the high going or avoid the negative feeling. So if you're feeling inadequate, like one of my clients just the other day, she's like just feeling down about herself. She's been on a bunch of bad dates. And she's like, I just like totally blew through my budget on some new clothes because I just want to feel good for like 2 seconds, right? So that inadequacy is what driving that. That's a trigger. And then there's also people who, on a positive note, like let's say you're on vacation, you're like, screw it, I'm on vacation. Like,
you only live once.
Swiping. Exactly. Or you're celebrating or you're hosting or whatever. So hosting is a place where a lot of people kind of do that emotional overspending because they want to like make a lovely place for their friends and family. And then they end up buying too much cheese.
Yeah, I love it. And this emotional thing, it's analogous to how I ate almost an entire box of Girl Guide cookies after a bad day last week. It wasn't spending,
absolutely,
but it was eating. Now, one of the things that as people think about their repayment plan, they know how much is outstanding. You advocate for figuring out your magic amount when it comes to debt repayment. Is this because you want to make sure you increase the probability of them being successful?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So they're not deluded in their optimism.
No, I hate those overly aggressive financial plans that are like, pay out $60,000 in 3 months. I think that it sets people up for failure, first of all. Then they feel like garbage because they've just failed their debt repayment plan. There's nothing. It's like kicking you while you're down.
Yeah.
And then and then you lose motivation. You're like, well, what's the point? I'm not good with money. And it kind of reaffirms that self-talk that you're bad with money. So I think if we can make like a more reasonable approach to it.
How do you figure out what that number is? How do you come up with that number?
So for me, the best thing to do is most times I advocate for what do you make every month? What are your bills? What do you want to save? And then kind of what's left over is where we draw a line in the sand between the money we can and can't spend. And that's now you're spending money. So basically the goal drives how much spending money you have left over. With debt, there's obviously a cash flow issue. It's not the same mentality as when you're building a savings plan, when you're building a debt repayment plan, because if you have debt, there's not enough cash flow happening every month. Like that's the problem. Mm. So what I'll turn my own advice on its head and go about it the other way. So, okay, what are our bills? And then I'll look at what is your average spending over the last, over 3 months. It's pretty typical spending, like obviously not the holidays and obviously not you on your best behavior, but like really just you on average. Let's look at 3 months of spending. What is that number? So if it's $1,000 a month on average over 3 months, then I need to make sure that you have around $1,000 a month for spending money, or else I'm going to set you up for failure. So then what I would do is, this is what you have coming in. This is what you have going out for bills. Let's put aside $1,000 to make sure you have an average typical month worth of spending money. And then what's left over is our magic amount. So I work it backwards with debt repayment plans because the cash flow is the core problem.
Right.
The worst thing I can do is tell someone like, okay, well, now you have $600 a month. Okay, bye.
Bye.
And they're spending $1,000. They're just going to keep going into debt.
Debt so slammers. I want to move on to debt slammers quickly. Lowering the rate, lump sums. Talk about some of these things that can be a really high impact.
Yeah, those are just basically things that are going to kick your plan into overdrive. So first things first, consolidate. Everyone knows that tip, but people rarely actually take the plunge into it. So if you've got a line of credit, pay off your credit cards with it, lower the interest rate. You can have such a better impact that the small amounts that you are putting towards debt actually have a chance at hitting principal. And then the lump sums is really important because, again, it feels really nice to see savings in our bank account. Not necessarily, like, it feels better to see $1,000 in a savings account than it does to see a line of credit go from $18,000 to $17,000. But the net worth went up by $1,000 no matter what. So I always have to remind people that paying down debt above the principal is also a form of savings. And so if you've got savings sitting on the side, not in an RFP, take it and throw it at your debt because it's going to kickstart your whole plan. And often over the long run, you'll actually end up with more money in your pocket because you won't be wasting so much time and energy going towards interest. So it's, you're playing the long game a little bit, and it's a scary thing to do. But often when you see what happens over 3 or 4 years, you're like, well, there's no other option except to empty out this account.
We've only got 30 seconds left. And in that time, I would like your number one tip to reduce the risk of recurrence. Because what we see sometimes is people get themselves out, they haul themselves out, and then life continues to happen, marriage, divorce, kids, What is your number one thing that you would have people focus on so that the pattern doesn't continue?
Slowly build emergency savings at the same time as repaying debt so that when life throws you a lemon, you can handle it without throwing your debt repayment plan off the rails.
Right. Oh, that important thing. Shannon, thank you very much. And congratulations on releasing book number 2.
Thank you.
Shannon Lee Simmons is a certified financial planner. She is the founder of the New School of Finance. And her latest book is called Living Debt Free.